The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, March 3rd. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. I have a two-part discussion I want to discuss today. One I intended to discuss, but things change when you see the newspaper, when you see all the things that is trending on social media, so you have to include other subjects, so the listening audience could be abreast of what is happening. Today, I got to be doing some reading. I hate if I have to read so much, man. Like today, I could be doing some reading. Yesterday, it seems, at least in today's Guardian, the headline or a headline say, partial decision reached in the arbitration with the Grand Bahama Port Authority. I see there's a big press conference. Let me see if I can read the press conference. There's a big press conference from the office of the Prime Minister. It says press briefing at 11 a.m. I surprised they didn't cut out my show in order to listen to the big press conference, but I'm glad I'm here. At 11 a.m. today, Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026, live streaming. And it could be unfortunate because most people tend to tune into me, but the Attorney General, Ryan Pinder, is going to be speaking. So I'm going to be directly competing to see who will be listening to whom. And as you know, everyone finds me entertaining. I feel for Mr. Pinder. It could be a low turnout to watch his live stream today. That's tough. Watch it on a rerun. They tend to record it and you can watch it then. But in the meantime, you listen to me. Well, Ryan Pinder, Attorney General and Minister of Legal Affairs, on the arbitration between the government of the Bahamas and the Grand Bahama Port Authority. The Port Authority also issued a statement. I'm going to read that statement, right? It's a little close and tight. Press statement for immediate release. Bahamas government $357 million reimbursement claim against the Grand Bahama Port Authority has been dismissed. Landmark victory for the GBPA and Grand Bahama. The government found in breach of the Hawksbill Creek Agreement and tribunal to consider damages awarded for the Grand Bahama Port Authority counterclaim success. Some time ago, we had a series of shows about whether the Grand Bahama Port Authority is a country within a country protected by the Constitution, because it has been grandfathered in as a separate entity, governing itself by our Constitution. And we're debating back and forth on whether the government has a right to sue the Grand Bahama Port Authority or even take it over, because the Grand Bahama Port Authority, from where we were discussing, is a separate entity protected by our Constitution. And, of course, they had a number of lawsuits happening, and this lawsuit is one of those things where the government was challenging the Grand Bahama Port Authority's stance, saying that they are independent. But saying that they're in breach of their responsibilities to Grand Bahama as a whole. But now we're going to read into what has been the conclusion, and then we'll have a discussion on that. But that's only one of the subjects I wanted to have a discussion on. But I wanted to read in the records that listening audience could at least appreciate what is happening, right? I'm reading it from my phone. A landmark arbitration victory for the Grand Bahama Port Authority, GBPA, its licensees and the people of Grand Bahama has seen the government $357 million so-called reimbursement claim called under Clause 15D of the Hawksbill Creek Agreement, HCA, dismissed in full, and the GBPA's position under the Hawksbill Creek Agreement clearly reaffirmed. Again, this is a press release, a press statement for immediate release from the Grand Bahama Port Authority. The arbitration tribunal fully rejected the government's argument that it was owed hundreds of millions of dollars by the Grand Bahama Port Authority under Clause 15D in a decision that provides much-needed clarity and confidence in the future of Freeport, following the prolonged shadow of uncertainty cast by this sweeping claim. In addition, the tribunal upheld the GBPA's counterclaim in respect of the government's sustained failure to approve environmental bylaws proposed by the government, the Grand Bahama Port Authority, which were intended to strengthen health, safety, and sanitation and environmental governance within the port area. The government was declared in breach of the Hawksbill Creek Agreement for this failure, and the tribunal directed the parties to make submissions on a damages awarded to the Grand Bahama Port Authority arising from those breaches. This is more than a legal victory. It is stabilizing movement for Freeport. We trust the ruling will give licensees, investors, stakeholders, and Grand Bahama residents renewed assurance and optimism for the future. We have advised the government repeatedly since June 2016 that it was wrong and would fail. It was not a good use of time or public resources. We have always maintained that benefit for Grand Bahama would be best be obtained by Grand Bahama Port Authority and the government working together. Genuine collaboration between the Port Authority and the government aimed at ensuring that both parties meet their moral and legal obligations for the benefit of all stakeholders and the people of Grand Bahama is essential. With this claim substantially behind us, we see this as an opportunity to reset Grand Bahama's future through renewed partnership, a modernized regulatory framework, and greater empowerment of local stakeholders. The Grand Bahama Port Authority didn't ask for this fight. We were forced to defend ourselves and stand up for the rights of our licensees and stakeholders. We would like to take this opportunity to thank the tribunal for their extensive work and for producing a fair and just decision. Attached is the conclusion of the tribunal decision. Let me see if I get that attachment. Conclusion 373. Accordingly, the tribunal orders and awards. A. The government's claim against the Grand Bahama Port Authority is dismissed. B. The Grand Bahama Port Authority counterclaim against the government succeeds, but only to the extent of its counterclaim in respect of delays in approving bylaws as to which. 1. The parties should make submissions as to damages. 2. The Grand Bahama Port Authority is entitled to the following declarations. The government is in breach of Clause 13 of the 1966 agreement by continuing to fail to take the necessary steps to effect the promulgation of the environmental bylaws for the port area first proposed by the Grand Bahama Port Authority in December 2006. And C, the parties should try and agree in identifying the outstanding issues, including damages and costs, and a procedure including a timetable for determining those issues, and should report back to the tribunal by March 6, 2026, indicating what they have agreed and what, if anything, they have been unable to agree. That's the end of that press release by the Grand Bahama Port Authority. So it looks like the government lost its suit and that they owe the Grand Bahama Port Authority damages, and the Port Authority needs to put forward how much they think the damages is worth. It's a partial decision. I guess a decision is still pending on it. I guess that's legal fees. You know, the Port Authority hired some expensive lawyers, so they got to pay that legal fees, and they also whatever damage has incurred up by the government not fulfilling their obligations. That's what they, the counter suit that the Grand Bahama Port Authority did. Like I said, today the Attorney General will respond. That's what he is doing at this present time, and I assume that he's going to outline the government's position, outline what's the next step for the government in terms of whether they're going to follow through on the timetable. So that'll be interesting. It will be in the Guardian, I assume, by tomorrow, front page, and also it'll go online on the various Guardian platforms, so we can get an. I know, like I said, I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the show that we've had a number of discussions about what is the Grand Bahama Port Authority, what are their responsibilities, and how does that impact the entire Bahamas? How does that impact government? I know there is an argument even regarding VAT. Is the port area subject to VAT, since VAT belongs to the government, or taxes is to be done and implemented by the Port Authority, because that the border of the Port Authority, that region, or Freeport, we call it Freeport now, is governed, in quotes, by the Port Authority itself. I know some years ago, during that time of that Ben and Briggs speech, when the Port Authority attempted at one point in time to have their own police, their own immigration, their own customs. Our government at the time make a suit and raise an appeal, and where it was determined, I think they went to England for that, if I remember correctly, it was determined that no, even though you have constitutionally protected the Grand Bahama Port Authority, the sovereignty of the Bahamas is controlled by the government. So the Port Authority cannot have their own police, their own immigration, their own customs. All of that is belonged to the government itself. So this particular suit was something similar in terms of the government seeking to clarify what is it, the rules and guidelines and responsibilities of the Grand Bahama Port Authority. The government said, man, y'all owe us some money. Y'all owe us some money because y'all haven't been fulfilling a number of things. And the Port Authority said, no, we don't owe you nothing, because we separate. We independent of y'all, and we don't have to pay that. Long and short, we know that things got to change in Grand Bahama. The government needs to continue to work on behalf of the Bahamian people. I believe the Port Authority needs to do more. They just need to do more. So I'm hoping that the government will continue its efforts. And it should be interesting to see what's the next step for the government and the Port Authority in general. So I just wanted to read that, but I'm going to start the next part of the show. I see we have some phone calls there. This text says, morning, so that's what the PM is hiding from us. I'm not sure if the PM is hiding any information. Like I said, there's a press release today, and the government, the Attorney General, is going to outline the ruling, how it's going to impact the government. I assume he's going to say how much the government's going to spend out, right? And also, I assume he's going to say what's the next step for the government. Hi, Mr. Nuri. In The Guardian, what is meant by explain that, please? The government make a claim against the Grand Bahama Port Authority and charge that the Port Authority owes the government $350 million of whatever taxes and whatever they're supposed to pay. Right? The Grand Bahama Port Authority said, no, we didn't owe that. In fact, y'all owe us some money. Right? So they did a counterclaim. So they went to arbitration. Arbitration means that they have an independent body, didn't go to court. They have an independent body who listens to both sides and make a ruling. They sign some kind of document to say they will be bound to the ruling, right? Or decision or conclusion of the arbiter. And the arbiter, who's a professional and an expert inside these things, made a conclusion. And in this case, a partial decision where they have concluded that the government's claim of the $350 million has been dismissed. That means that it's not going to be confirmed or put forward. Counterclaim, they concluded that the Port Authority is owed money by the government for whatever breaches the government did. Let's go to that caller, Kermit. Guardian Radio AM, this is C.A. Nuri. We're talking about the Port Authority right now, and then we're going to move on to a different topic. But let's talk about the Port Authority and what's happening there. Go ahead.
Nuri.
Hey, this is Nuri.
Nuri.
Go ahead, you're live.
All right, good morning. I wouldn't go that far as to say the Prime Minister hiding something, but he did tell us on the news yesterday that he couldn't talk about it before you all started to read this breaking news with the port say. So we wouldn't say he hiding something, but he did say like he couldn't talk about it. I'm not sure what Ryan Pinder talking about, because I couldn't find it on none of the radio stations or the TV stations. I know you say it's streaming online, but I would go as far as to say maybe the best thing they could do is maybe sit down with the port and see if they could maybe agree the best price so they could pay whatever the cost. The cost for all of this transaction, or maybe the next best thing they could do is go to the Privy Council. Do you know who's the name of the judge? Do you know who's the lawyer for the? I mean, the lawyer for the government would have been the Attorney General, but who's the lawyer for the Port Authority? And did they do this case in Nassau or Freeport? You know who's the judge?
The judge would be a wrong term. It would be the arbiter.
Who's the arbitrator?
And I would have to do a search.
It's a group of people, like, but three different people or something. Eh? That should be public information. You can't pull that up online?
Yeah, but I would have to go to commercial break.
Okay. So the Prime Minister say he could he hold his tongue and he is a partial judgment, but, you know.
Now, the Prime Minister wants to speak from an informed place. He doesn't want to speak off the cuff, and then all of you call the radio station and say the Prime Minister said this and the Prime Minister said that.
So that is sound to you like a different thing, different from off the cuff, what we all normally, I mean, sometimes get ourselves in. That ain't sound like to go as far. I mean, use the Prime Minister, use the lawyer to go as far as to say that the thing say no one could talk about it, and it's a partial judgment. What you read just now sound like the people and say, I mean, to me, sound like the, it make no sense with the government bring. And if anybody got to pay somebody something for whatever, lawyer or whatever, it's the government. That's us got to pay it, not Brave Davis. Thanks.
Okay. I look like I need to read this article in The Guardian. I can read this part and then go over the whole thing. It says a three-person arbitration panel chaired by Sir Anthony Smellie. S-M-E-L-L-I-E, Casey, former Chief Justice of the Cayman Island, along with UK lawyer, Law Lord David Neuberger of Abbotsbury and Dame Elizabeth Gloucester, concluded the proceedings in September, but no public indication has been given on when a decision will be revealed. So what I'm going to need to do, I'm going to speak to the people online, and I'll go back to this Guardian article and read the whole article, because I see Popper's asking some questions that I wasn't familiar with, and I see that the article has the answer. So let me just read it in at a record so that we'll be more informed about it. Guardian Radio AM, go ahead, you're live. Go ahead, caller. Kermit, patch a second and call it through as I get to the front page. Go ahead, caller, you're live.
Yes, this is C. Allen Johnson. Just a couple of, yes, do you hear me?
Yeah, man, I hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, yes. Sir Anthony Smellie, who's the chief of the former Chief Justice of the Cayman Islands, is the medium. One was appointed by government. The arbitrator by government is Lord Neuberger of Abbotsbury, right? Former president of the UK Supreme Court. And then the other arbitrator appointed by the Grand Bahama Port Authority was Dame Elizabeth Gloucester, a former UK Court of Appeal judge. So the decision has been made. The Port Authority is making a claim. The government is pushing back in their statement that is being released right now that the claim doesn't fully explain what it is. Essentially, the Port Authority had made a $1 billion counterclaim, but the Court of Appeal somewhat, you know, they're just explaining it now, and they agreed that the report will be released today. But they're explaining that that they both may have been arguing from the wrong part of the agreement, that they should have been using a subsequent 1994 change or amendment or whatever that they should have been making their argument from. So they both was arguing on wrong claims. But I guess it would give some more direction as where to go. The important part of this for us to take back from this is that when you look at the Bahamian economy and what has been said since 2002 by all prime minister aspirants, who one of those two would eventually became aspirants, is the fact that the economic advancement of the Bahamas cannot happen with Grand Bahama playing a key role in that advancement. And their truth, their statements have come to be true, because we haven't seen anything really happen since 2002, whatever excuses you may use. The problem we have is that you could take the position that the Grand Bahama Port Authority, nor the governments up to, has been able to confidently explain to us where to go. So when you look at the population, when you look at the housing, when you look at all of these different things, and even the discussion that we must have in relation to immigration, because it requires Grand Bahama development, will probably require about 50 to 60,000 experts or whatever it is to come to the Bahamas. And so we must now have a conversation in the context of protecting our sovereignty. Does it make a difference whether the Bahamas is taken over by rich folks or by posh folks from the south? And so we have to have a conversation concerning the immigration reform if we are to develop the country, so that we could be like Singapore and these other places where, and Dubai and these other places we talk about, where the population may have a few million people, but the population is 10% or 20%. I mean, the citizens are 20%, 25%, but they are not afraid because their immigration laws protect their citizenship. And so, but we keep talking as though the laws and absolute, like let's use an example of Miami. We say, oh, we have to change the number 7. When you change number 7, you now make something absolute in the law when the Constitution gives you that and the ability to set conditions. So when you said no to nobody born in the Bahamas, you can't say, oh, no people born, to, you can't put in the Constitution, okay, no 2 people born to illegals. And so this is when we don't stop and think about the future and we become reactionary and to things that we have to do. Even the arguments made respectfully by my colleague, Mr. Davis, this morning, xenophobia and mixing the different things. When you talk about immigration, there's disciplines under each, legal, illegal, or whatever. When you talk about national development, there's definitions under each of those. When you talk about Grand Bahama, it's also understanding that it's a law, not an agreement. And it is tied by subsequent agreement. And I think somehow we have to get in context and always stay directive. We are now in a global competition with everybody in the world with AI now and energy. Yeah. And if we don't get it right, not election, not just the election, but if we don't get it right in the next 5 years, we won't have to argue about anything because we will be cemented in the past.
Okay, and I appreciate that. And that's something we need to contemplate. But let me continue the article. This article, Partial Decision Reach on Arbitration with Grand Bahama Port Authority, is written by Ms. Candia Deems, executive editor of the Nassau Guardian, and gives some more details so we can have more fodder, especially for the subsequent shows after this. So if you're listening and haven't been able to purchase the Guardian, Nassau Guardians yet, at least you'll be able to speak some knowledge on the other talk shows later on. It says, starting the article, mid speculation circling widely on social media, Prime Minister Philip Davis told reporters on Monday that a partial decision has been reached in arbitration hearings relating to the $357 million dispute the government has with the Grand Bahama Port Authority, the GBPA, but he did not reveal that decision. As you know, arbitration was confidential, he said. I can tell you that a decision has been made, a partial decision, but I can't say any more than that. Also citing confidentiality, the Grand Bahama Port Authority declined to comment on reports that a decision has been made. The matter went to arbitration after the Port Authority rejected the Davis administration's claim that it owes the public purse $357 million in reimbursement for certain activities and works carried out in Freeport. In 2024, the Prime Minister said the amount owed by the port to the people is $357 million, which covers the last five. He said, how can I, and it continues on page A7, partial. Getting it right now. How can I explain to the Bahamian people not collecting over $300 million of their money. The Port Authority is required under the agreement to send this reimbursement within 30 days of the presentation of this detailed audit. If they should fail to do so, the government has the right to immediately begin arbitration proceedings. The port refused to pay up, and the arbitration was triggered. A three-person arbitration panel chaired by Sir Anthony Smellie Casey, former Chief Justice of the Cayman Islands, along with UK Lord David Neuberger of the Abbotsbury and Dame Elizabeth Gloucester, concluded the proceedings in September, but no public indication has been given on when the decision will be revealed. While in Freeport at the end of January 2026, the Prime Minister said a decision was imminent. We could have the result of that at any time. When that comes out, we would speak more about it, he said. Davis did not indicate on Monday when the decision will be made public. The matter against the Port Authority and its role in Grand Bahama has been an issue his term in office. During the budget debate in the House of Assembly in June 2023, he outlined his concerns with the Grand Bahama Port Authority and what he said was its failure to advance Freeport. He announced then that the government was going after the port for monies he said are owed to the public treasury. It is important to note that Section 1.5 of the Hawksbill Creek Agreement specifies that costs borne by the government for certain activities and services provided are to be reimbursed by the Grand Bahama Port Authority for amounts in excess of custom duties and emergency taxes collected. The Hawksbill Creek Agreement, which was signed in 1955 between the government and Wallace Grove, who formed the government port, the Grand Bahama Port Authority, gave Grand Bahama Port Authority to establish a city and free trade zone over 50,000 acres that would spur economic development on Grand Bahama. Under the agreement, the Port Authority, which is jointly owned by St. George and Haywood families, is obligated to provide infrastructure in Freeport. It is responsible for conducting and administrating the port area and to license businesses in exchange for various tax exemptions. That's the end of that article there. We have a number of calls online. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM. We're talking about the port right now. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, everybody.
How you doing?
We are forgetting one thing, you know.
What's that?
Bend or break.
Bend or break.
Yes,
go ahead.
Bend or break. Okay. See, Freeport was on a certain trajectory in the 60s. Okay? If it had continued, Nassau would be the second city by now.
So pause there, because I disagree.
Okay.
I disagree. Yes. I disagree.
No. You can disagree as much as you want.
But I disagree, it's the truth.
The truth is...
No. What you're saying is not the truth. But I can let you speak.
Hold it.
Let you speak, but I disagree.
Okay. Did bend or break not happen?
Yes. You know why it happened?
Bend or break happened, right?
It happened? But hold on, pause. Do you know why it happened?
No. Hey?
You don't know why it happened?
Of the bend or break...
But pause.
And the
pause,
essence of the bend or break
first
thing,
of all,
right?
No, Colo, I want you to explain what the bend or break speech is. A speech.
Okay.
Explain why did the bend or break speech happen?
It was concluded by the leaders at that time that Freeport or the persons who were in Freeport had too much power.
No, that was why the bend or break speech happened. That's what's just a problem there. You're not familiar with why the bend or break speech happened.
So, since you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me.
Oh, why? Yes. Racism was involved. You asked a question. Let me answer.
Racism?
Hold on. Let me answer. The Port Authority at that time were excluding Bahamians for participating. First, they formed their own customs and police and immigration. That's one. And then they did not want the Bahamians to participate in the management. They didn't want to put Bahamians to participate in the working of Grand Bahama. They start importing labor and say there's no need for Bahamians to be included because this is a private entity and they can hire anyone who they want. Then, the Prime Minister said, if you continue working, hiring these expats and these foreign workers to come into Grand Bahama, the government will come and intervene, bend or break. But Bahamians will participate in the workings and the management of Grand Bahama. Now you go ahead. Now that you finally understand what would happen, go give commentary.
Now, the reality here is that the investors refused to ban, right?
But they did ban.
No.
But they did ban.
Refused to ban.
But they did ban.
And Freeport remains broken.
No. They did ban.
Hey, hold it. Okay. If they banned, right? Why is Freeport still broken?
Freeport is just recently broken. You got to understand.
Hold on. Freeport has been broken for like more than 40 years now.
The idea that, and everyone go on about the scandal of all of the mobsters and their mob money and cleaning all kind of strange money, we could even go down there, right? Yeah, the idea is Freeport was created for a particular set of people to make money. Right?
But the mobsters came in by invitation.
It mattered that. The idea of what is happening. the idea that Bahamians was going to be excluded from a community in the Bahamas is egregious. Something had to be done. And nothing you can say that you say that Bahamians should not be involved.
Let me give you
my
view on what should have happened, right? Freeport, its original intention was to be an outpost for the British Empire that was receding at the time, okay? And they wanted to have a presence off the eastern seaboard of the most powerful nation, you know, in the world. Now, hindsight being what it is, informs us that if Freeport had run its course and the technology that came to Freeport could have been dispersed throughout the Family Islands, we would be in a far better place. We would be in a far better place now. Now, is that something you see or no?
I can respond to that too. The Grand Bahama Port Authority has property in Andras, I think Rumkey, and all kind of different islands in the Bahamas. They refuse to develop any of those islands. They just have it. They still to this day, they continue to hold the property hostage.
Hold it. Were those guys responsible for islands other than Freeport?
They have the properties.
Explain it.
They have ownership. And as an investor,
What does the agreement say?
Two different issues.
You are talking about the agreement now.
I'm trying to talk about an expanded agreement. First of all, the Port Authority has a mandate to invest in Grand Bahama Port, the Freeport proper. They've been negating that, and this is why the government is suing to say, man, we've been paying a number of the things that is enacted that you're supposed to be responsible for. That's what the legal suit about. And
anyway,
they had a disagreement on who, how much is supposed to be responsible for. But going back on the Ben and Big speech, which you misinterpreted, they did not want any Bahamians to be there, to be working there. No government can afford that the Bahamas, that their citizens was going to be excluded. So therefore, the government intervened and said, no, you are part of the Bahamas, and Bahamians will be employed in Grand Bahama. Freeport proper. And now if you're saying that you would agree that no Bahamian should have been employed, something is wrong.
We are talking about sustainability, Mr. Newry. Okay. With an expanding Bahamian population, right? How long are you saying that situation
I saw South Africa in an apartheid system. It's going to be a long time. You say how long?
The same thing
happened in South Africa where they said this part is for us and this part is for y'all. That was going to be happening if our government didn't intervene and say the Bahamas is for all Bahamians.
Right now in Nassau with the expanding Haitian Bahamians. Okay?
No, I don't see
it. Same scenario.
No.
Okay, same scenario.
No. But you're mixing things up.
What do you mean?
I don't see how the Haitian Bahamians come in this conversation.
Right there. You see, when the guys in charge of the world, right? Even though they create most of the problems, right? They also dictate where most of the person in the world go to or like how they migrate, right? You know, they control the migration stuff, you know, through the UN. You all go this way, you all go this way, you all go that way, right? Now, disregarding, I agree with you in terms of what the guys did not do. But I want to see the bigger picture. There are some stuff that we could have a lot. The technology in Freeport
We allowing technology to span all to the Bahamas. Your reason makes no sense. You're trying to say our government
put a ban
on technology.
But expand to the spot where it could be used in our other family islands.
But we're still waiting on it for Grand Bahama. We're still waiting on it for Grand Bahama. The technology would help Grand Bahama and the port. But I appreciate your contribution, caller. Thank you.
Stay safe, buddy.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you. The conversation. There's another conversation I want to bring up. I see there is not a press release, it's like a brochure that the former Prime Minister Hubert Minnis put out recently. Let me see if I can get it on my phone because I want to read it. It's about independent candidates. And just because I want it now, my phone changed library. Yeah, there it goes. It's a picture. It's a nice picture. It's a youthful picture of the former Prime Minister Hubert Minnis. It's actually the good gentleman. It's a handsome picture of the good gentleman. The suit fits him well. You have on his arm bracelet. He looks good. He looks vibrant, energized, right? And the title says, Why Vote Independent? He's answering this question. Why vote independent? Independent means accountable to you, not a party boss. I had a problem with that heading because he was a part of the party. He's still trying to be a part of the party, but he's saying that independent, only the independent, that's how I interpret it, right, means accountable to you, the Bahamian people, and not a party boss. So it sounds like he'll never join a political party by this statement he's saying now. It says, same constitutional powers as any MP if you serve as an independent. Same constituency funding allocation, same voting power in parliament, full right to introduce bills and debate policy, freedom from party pressure, decisions based on what benefits the people. That is his bullet points on what he's trying to promote. So an independent member of parliament still receives the same community funding provided to every constituency. When lawyers fail you, when government offices ignore you, when party MPs are hard to reach, when representatives focus more on party politics than people, an independent MP answers directly to the community. Your concerns can go straight to the House of Assembly, straight to the Prime Minister. You remember when he was Prime Minister? He said an independent person can bring the views to the Prime Minister. I remember when this particular former Prime Minister said that he would be willing to breach the Constitution. In fact, he plans to breach the Constitution, the highest law in the land, the stuff that gives us, the law that gives me the right to be Bahamian. He's planned to suspend all of that. I still haven't forgiven for that, because that there was treason to me. Everything should have shut down right then. People just raised their, did he say that? And try to interpret it. And now he wants to run as independent? Anyway, continue. His brochure program, all in blue, by the way. And he has a red V, look like a check mark for a vote, right? your concerns can go straight to the House of Assembly, straight to the Prime Minister without any, without party filtering, without political games. An independent MP can call for a committee to investigate individuals or matters. A government will form, a opposition will exist. But your representative should answer to you, not a party whip. Independent leadership strengthens democracy for our community, for our children and grandchildren, for a better Bahamaland. That's the first part of his brochure. Then it's a two-page brochure, all in blue, right? Blue and white. But what about, in the question mark there, right? Let's address the questions. An independent has no power. That's the first question he's going to address. Every MP has one vote in Parliament. Every MP can speak, introduce legislation, and advocate. I guess that's the answer there. Power comes from the Constitution, not the party headquarters. You see that word Constitution there? I still remember him trying to suspend the Constitution and take away our rights. In fact, I think he was at breach of that several times. He breached the Constitution. I still have anxiety when this good gentleman speaks, but that's just me. Next question. They won't be in cabinet. This is a question where he's trying to explain or address the concerns a number of people would have with voting as an independent. Some number of people he's saying that would ask a candidate won't be in cabinet. The response is not every effective MP sits in cabinet. Strong representation is about influence, advocacy, and accountability, not titles. Next question. An independent, they can't bring projects to the community. Every elected MP receives the same constituency funding allocation, whether independent or party affiliated. And it continues, government projects are national decisions, not party rewards. Your community does not lose funding or resources by choosing an independent. Now, this is where you got to talk about Leroy Major, and he said some of his contracts got canceled. Still trying to understand what he means by that, since he have $100,000 and these contracts was awarded from him and he's paying. But a number of his contracts, he claimed, has been canceled by his former political party that did not give him the nomination. So we would have to have that juxtaposed and analyze that, what he means, or invite him down, invite him to the studio so he can explain what that means, right? This question, if you vote for an independent, you're wasting your vote. He answers, a vote is never wasted when it reflects your values. I sound like a ploy to vote COI. Let me read that again. You're wasting your vote. A vote is never wasted your values. Democracy works best when voters choose representation, not fear. I know he had me in fear as living during COVID and lockdown. Anyway, next question. If you vote independent, one person can't make a difference. He responded to that. History proves otherwise. One strong, experienced voice can influence debate, legislation, and national direction. The real question is not whether an independent can serve. The real question is whether the people deserve a representative who answers directly to them, not a political machine. That's the end of his advert brochure that is circulating social media. Like I say, his colors is all blue. One part red was the check mark, but it has the V for vote, and the vote, the OTE part, OTE, is in black. That reminds me of the COI color, right? I don't see no yellow inside this, right? No gold. But I see that new PLP sky blue is also involved. You know, colors and lettering all means things. They help give out subliminal messages to people and influence people differently. But like I said, it's a youthful picture of the former prime minister. I like the picture. I mean, he's sharp. This picture is empowering when you look at it, right? It's nice smile. It's confidence being exuded out of it. But me, nothing this good gentleman saying could convince me. I don't see it. I just don't see it. Let's go to the caller there. Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri. We're talking about Grand Bahama. We're also talking about the former Prime Minister, Hubert Minnis's push to convince his constituency, Killarney, first of all, and then the wider public, secondary, to vote independent. Go ahead, caller.
Yes. You know, C. Allen talk about us being a Dubai or Singapore, right? He failed to realize that Singapore is what you call it, a deal with state capitalism. It's state capitalist state, right? And he, you know what I mean? He's against that. And Dubai got natural resources. You understand what I'm saying? See, what I feel is that, see, we keep running away from the geopolitics of it all. That's the control. You know, you talk about national identity card and things. That's control. Okay? So what we need is to do to deal with most of our problems, we need to do a union. The United States is a union. Why did those states unite? You understand? If they had to come together, they united. Europe is united. Why are we running from unity with the European, with our neighbors? You understand me? From we unite with our neighbors, and then we have real local government, because the size of our citizenry is it's like a local government, and you know what I'm saying? Like a state, you know? It's like a state. The United States bigger than the population, much larger than the population of the Bahamas. You understand me? We need to do a proper union so we don't, people are benefiting from these things, so from our system today. You understand me? And we talk about the simulation thing. Man, ain't nobody asking them communities in the United States to simulate. They, you know what I mean? They got their own culture, religious culture and all. You can imagine asking a Muslim to become Christian, we call ourselves. Come on. Why should we who are we simulated to? The European of the, what you call it, the, what do you call them? Protestants. That's our religious culture. You understand what I'm saying? We forget our own religious culture. We throw that away us as black people out. You know what I mean? But anyway, thank you.
Pleasure, caller. I sense some frustration in your tune. One of the things that Popper brought to my attention was that he could not hear the Attorney General give his speech, his explanation regarding this ruling for Grand Bahama Port Authority. I mentioned that it's on the government's Facebook social media page stream. But the nation has access to radio, and the nation has access to the TV. But we see that our government has decided that breaking news, national addresses, is going to be done via their social media platform. And I think that's a disservice to the Bahamian people. Or if it's going to be a national address to all audience, it should be all of the news outlets, media outlets should be present. There should be microphones there so that it could be broadcast widely. Right, not that you have to wait until it's being re-reported by the news agencies who are listening via social media also. I think that's problematic, and I think that's anti-democracy in terms of getting access to information from a person's government. Something is wrong with that. This text says, Mr. Nuri, the Prime Minister said he was smiling. I gathered from his brief statement that it was possible that the court ruled in his favor. Otherwise, why will he be smiling? I hear you, Dexter. It seems the Prime Minister spoke. It seems as if the ruling was favorable in their side. Clearly, that did not happen. The Attorney General will explain the ruling or the government's position regarding the ruling, whether what part is favorable or not favorable, or what is their next step. Or why you think that the Prime Minister was smiling in general. The government had a position that they were owed money, and they went and pursued for that money. And their stance, the arbitrator said, we appreciate what you're trying to say, but no, they don't owe you no money. In fact, now you owe them for court fees and time spent. Let's go to the call again. Guardian Radio AM, you live.
Mary.
Hey.
They might have started late, but it's on TV, it's on the radio, on the TV, the national radio station. And Mary, from what I hear, I listen to the Dabble. Nah, it's not like Dabble. Sound like the reporters must be able to ask questions. I'm not sure, but he was answering something. But it sounded like they're rejoicing. It sounded like the government did get something out of the deal because they're saying it's a good day for, I don't know if they mark into what the Port Authority saying, but it sound like what you're reading or what we hear so far this morning and everything, the government sounded like they get some other information. They're saying we're not victorious, but where the government get something on behalf of the Bahamian people. Then I didn't hear nothing yet, so far I can go back and listen to see if there's anything the government got to pay them people like what you was reading earlier.
Yes. Hey. And I appreciate you calling back, too, to inform us, because, no, I'm not listening. So you're giving a live
They're on
response.
The radio. They might have started later or something. Yeah. Or I wasn't doing the right channel.
Yes. And I'm sure if Mr. Lang does not have a guest, we'll go into detail on what was the government's position, since the position of the government is being updated now by the Attorney General. Papa said that the Minister of Health is also at this press conference, that is. So he might be giving some update on the new specialty hospital and some conclusion there. Or maybe some information about the RAN Hospital in Grand Bahama. Who knows them? More information about what transpired at this press conference, I guess, will be made available to me after the show, and that tomorrow I could be able to speak to a more informed position regarding it. But like I said, the Attorney General is having a press briefing. Press briefing means they're briefing the press about the arbitration between the government of the Bahamas and the Grand Bahama Port Authority. We see that the Port Authority has released a statement about the ruling or the conclusion. From what I understood, they're saying that the government now owes them a duty of care or some money because the suit was lost. So we will hear exactly what the government's position afterwards as they're speaking about it, and then we could have a more informed conversation. This text says, can someone please tell me, let us know, who was the attorney for the Port Authority in this case? It was not mentioned inside this particular article. Surely the powers that be are listening to me. And as more articles on this particular case or particular outcome or arbitration is a better word, continues, you can have a more informed and detailed response. But I see a number of Bahamians are interested on knowing who the lawyers were. Says, good morning. Please note that most Bahamians love immigrants and welcome them. I guess that's immigrants. Love immigrants and welcome them here. Many of us have good friends and they will continue to be our friends. Our concern is they should only get permanent residents who were here before 1973. The others who came after the right way should get only work permits. Many of these immigrants do not get fully involved in our society, only in areas where they benefit. And I guess this texter is saying that most immigrants shouldn't get access to permanent residence or citizenship, that they only come here to work, and after they finish work, after 30, 40, 50 years, they're supposed to leave, right? And I'm not sure, and perhaps I need to have a show about that, what our Constitution says. And clearly our Constitution allows residents or migrants to apply for permanent residence after a certain time frame of being in the Bahamas, and by extension, right to apply for citizenship after you get a permanent residence for a certain time frame. You married a Bahamian citizen here, and you're living in the country for a particular time, you have status, variant status. You have a spousal status. And from that spousal status, you might have a permanent resident. And from that permanent resident, you will eventually have a citizenship. It's a process. We need to learn more about the process. So that's what we need to do. Anyway, I enjoyed the conversation today. It's now 12:02. Chicago Lang is next. And have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
City of Miami Gardens presents JITG Music Fest. Janae Aiko, Ludacris, Ashanti, Nelly, Glorilla, LMA, Maya, Joe, D Nice and Friends, featuring WV, Donnell Jones, Case, Sunshine Anderson, and Kenny Burns, Isley Brothers, L. DeBarge, Stephanie Mills, and so many more. March 7th and 8th, Hard Rock Stadium. Tickets and info at jazzinthegardens.com. Jazzinthegardens.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, stream and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.